2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now our text verse, look at it. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Let's pray. Lord, this is your time. This is your moment. These folks are gathered here not to hear anything that I have to say, but to hear what you have to say. I pray, Lord, you'd use my voice, that you would give me the words that you'd have me to say at this moment. Help me to not say anything I shouldn't. And Lord, would you bless this dear church? Oh, how I love them. Oh, how my heart is just filled with appreciation and gratitude. Lord, I pray they would sense that tonight. Lord, I'd pray they'd be encouraged to continue, challenged. And Lord, that you would receive much glory in the years to come from this place. We look for you, Lord. You could come back tonight. We anticipate your coming, and even so come, Lord Jesus. But if you choose to tarry, Lord, may we be faithful in thy work. Bless this now. May it be accomplished, that which you desire. And may these moments we spend have a lasting impact for all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a great church. Not a good church. A great church. I've been to a lot of different churches in my day. Churches big, churches small. I have never been to a church that I have felt all around was a better church than Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's high praise. Seen a lot of places, seen a lot of people. Curtis Corner Baptist Church is doing much to simply do in Rhode Island what you all are doing here. Why? Because it works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. This works. I personally represent a group of souls that were saved through this ministry and lives that were changed as a result of your work for God. Thousands of people saved over the years. Thousands. How many baptized? Amazing. How many miles of buses been run? How many visitors? How many people saved out, soul winning and knocking doors on doorsteps and living rooms and sidewalks and country roads and city streets? God knows. How many soul winners over the years have beat the pavement going out taking the gospel from this place to the cities and towns and villages around? God has used you mightily. God's used you mightily. I hear Pastor Ross saying, old Pastor Ross, I don't say that so you get puffed up. I'm not trying to puff you up. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just stating facts. God has used you mightily. Since May of 1973, 44 years, this church has been working for the Lord. God has blessed you with great pastors. Wonderful people. There's not a week that goes by that I don't remember Pastor Ross. And something he said ripping my face off about something. I remember one night he was standing out there saying, or one Sunday morning he was standing out there saying goodbye to people. And I was just standing next to him, you know, not so that I'm in the way, but just I wanted to hear what he had to say. I just wanted to be close to him. He had those big, big old hands shaking people's hands, and he would shake those hands. And someone came up and said, "Oh, Pastor, you stepped on my toes today." And he got that little smile on his face, and he said, "That's a shame." He said, "I was aiming for your heart." And the person's like, oh, you know, and just walks out. There's not a week that goes by, perhaps not a day, that I don't remember him. And, of course, his sweet wife, just so faithful. God's given you good pastors. Listen, Pastor Jerry's a gift from God. Just a gift from God. I'd listen to everything he's got to tell you about the things of the Lord. But let me tell you this, God not only gave Blessed Hope Baptist Church good pastors, God gave Blessed Hope Baptist Church faithful people. See, there's three things required for a great church. Number one's a great God. Now, you know you have that. Number two is a faithful pastor, someone who's going to preach the word. But the oft-forgotten and missing ingredient is an obedient people. It's the people. The people who are obedient that say, "I will believe God. I will believe God. I will obey. Let's go forward." And God speaks and gives the preacher the message, and the preacher gets up to speak, and the people says, "I'm in. Count me in, preacher." Boy, I think that's right. That's in the scripture. I think that's exactly right. And God over the years has given Blessed Hope Baptist Church wonderful people. I look around and many of you I've known since I was a teenager. That means you're getting old. Amen. Because I'm getting old. I told someone yesterday, I said, "I feel like I'm getting old." And they said, "How do you think I feel?" And he said, "I was old when you were a teenager." And we're all getting old, amen. And I see these young kids, some of you young adults, I say young adults, you're in your 20s and sometimes 30s, and I remember you running around the church. I remember some of you that got kids and you were this tall running around the church and causing trouble and all that. No, you were good kids. And I was the one causing trouble, let's be honest here. But wonderful. But here's the message tonight. In order to stay great, Blessed Hope Baptist Church must keep doing the things that made it great in the first place. You must continue. Each new generation must choose to serve the Lord. Study the Bible, study the Old Testament. Each new generation must choose to serve the Lord. We have some Christian giants in this room. I mean, some of you faithful people, I have learned so much over the years and received such instruction just by your life and your testimony, your faithfulness. Praise God for you. Many of you, you've fought a good fight. You're coming to finish your course. And I know that some of the worries of the senior saints in this room is, are the young'uns going to pick up the baton? And praise God, many of you are. We've got a generation of young people here tonight, often the children of those faithful people that are still serving God. Praise God for that. Every generation of new believers must choose whether or not you're going to buy into the teaching of the Bible. You've got to buy in. You've got to decide. And so a church is always one generation, Christianity itself is always one generation away of extinction, because nobody is born into Christianity. Every new generation has to choose to serve the Lord, how they're going to follow the Lord, has to choose to give the gospel and all of these things. It's a personal decision. And so I'm just going to encourage you tonight. Blessed Old Baptist Church ain't broke. You say, preacher, we got our problems. Yeah, probably one of them's you. If after everything I just said, the first thing that comes in your mind is, well, you don't know what's going on around here. I just found out. Well, you know, Pastor Jerry's got his problem. Well, you don't know what I know. And da, 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 da. Shame on you. Well, we can't go in. The people are like grasshoppers. We can't do it. Stop discouraging God's people. We got a big God. Amen. Church is full of sinners. Amen? Amen. Not a church on the planet that's perfect. But Blessed Old Baptist Church ain't broke. Just keep doing what you're doing. Amen. Continue. Let's look at the scriptures here. We're going to dive right in. I'm going to talk to you quickly tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read a lot of Bible verses to get you some context here. Verse 1 tells us that in the last days perilous times are going to come. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is warning Timothy, trying to prepare Timothy. Paul's race is coming to a close. Timothy was going to be one of the church leaders, personally trained by Paul. And he was teaching him some things not to do, some things to do, some things to watch out for, some pitfalls. But in the last last chapter and a half here of 2 Timothy, we really see the heart of the Apostle Paul come through. And so we see in the first five verses, we see 20 characteristics of the last days. We don't have to go through all those. You just read that list and start checking them off. Yep, 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 yep. This world's a mess, amen? And the only thing that's going to clean it up is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that glorious gospel we talked about this morning. That's the hope of the world. But then he begins to make some comparisons here in the rest of the verse, in the rest of the chapter. Verses 6 through 8 give some illustrations, and he used specifically two people, Jannes and Jambres. We don't have time to go into that, but these are men that withstood Moses. They resisted the truth. Now, Moses was probably, other than Jesus Christ, one of the greatest leaders who ever lived. Think about all the things he did. We don't have to go through his resume. And yet there were people that were being fed manna every day. They had a pillar of fire keeping them warm at night and leading them, providing light. They had a cloud by day protecting them from the sun and leading and guiding them. Their clothes didn't rot. They grew with him. They were providentially protected, and yet they found multiplied reasons to complain. There's always going to be those. I just want to make sure I'm not one of them. I'd rather be Joshua. But here we have this, and he compares them to verse 10. He says, but thou. What's he saying? He said, listen, Timothy, this world's a mess. And as the last days go on, it's going to get worse and worse. Later it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to get worse. This whole world's a mess. And he said, there's going to be people foolish. There's going to be people rise up. There's going to be people resist the truth. There's going to be people turn their back on God. But thou, Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, you can't be one of the ones that fall. You can't be one of the ones that backslide. You, Timothy, need to be faithful. He then goes on and uses himself as an illustration. Look at verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, and manner of life and purpose and faith and long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. You know, we're talking about death threats, being stoned, coming back alive. Just a few little things happening here. Imagine the Apostle Paul saying, Timothy, don't quit. And Timothy's like, how am I supposed to keep up with you? It's like my wife is such a trooper. She's so amazing. Her tolerance for pain and her keeping her attitude straight and loving God and serving God. It's hard to get sick at the Chapman house. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, sweetie, my fever. Oh, sweetie. And she's just looking at me. Do you need me to get you up and get you some medicine? I'm like, oh, man, I can't. It's hard to measure up with the Apostle Paul. You know, you got people turning their back, people stubbing their toe and cursing God and quitting, all this kinds of stuff. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, Timothy, you know my story. You know me. You know what I've been through. Timothy, I expect more of you than I do these others that have turned away. By the way, don't be confused or don't be concerned when people expect a lot of you. That's a good thing. When people say, listen, I believe that you're capable. I believe you have something to offer. I believe that you have some good things to give. Accept that. Try to rise up to that. As Timothy did. Verse 12 and 13, he compares the godly versus the wicked. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But, see the contrast, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So he gives all that, and then he comes to and he says, but continue thou. Here's what I think. I think you can see the Apostle Paul's heart in this. He said, Timothy, look, I've known a lot of people. I've had a lot of people start with us and quit. I know what it's like to have victories. I know what it's like to have defeats. I know what it's like to invest and pour my heart into people and have them not turn out. I know what it's like to just have people walk away. I know what it's like to have people I trusted rise up and be disloyal and stab me in the back. He said, Timothy, you know all this, but Timothy, you're different. But Timothy, you're like my son in the faith. But Timothy, please, not you. Not you! You can't give up! You can't quit! And as I said, I've gotten so much comfort that Blessed Hope Baptist Church hasn't changed with all the waving of the winds. But let me say tonight, as one of your spiritual children, not you! Not you! I've got college friends that have turned their back and people I used to be close to that don't even name the name of Christ anymore and all these different things, but not you. Pastor friends gone the way of all the world, but not you. What was his concern? What was his instruction? Look at verse 14. But continue thou. But continue. This is the simple message tonight. Continue. See, there's going to be a lot of people quit. Those of you that have been here for a long time, you've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. Amen. But we got to stay faithful. We've seen people backslide, sometimes terribly, sometimes publicly, sometimes awfully. We have to do right. We've seen people change. We've seen people who are faithful to God for a long time, and then they say, you know, I just don't believe that anymore. It's just not an issue for me anymore. You know, preacher, you're preaching preferences, preacher, and this is a legalistic church. Well, you didn't used to talk like that. What happened? I've changed. We've seen people be seduced by the devil and evil ways. You know, not every person that backslides is just an awful person. You know, sometimes they're really good people that had good intentions, and they were seduced. And the truth is, they hate themselves for what they've done more than you ever possibly could. But regardless of their motivations, Timothy, you have to be faithful. You have to continue. Look what he was supposed to continue in. Two things mentioned here, and then we could look at other things throughout the chapter, but we won't. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So what are we going to continue in? The things which thou hast learned. What's that? The teaching. The teaching from the Bible. Praise God for good Bible teaching. Listen, we've had good pastors here, not just because they're so awesome or they're so great, they're so gifted, although they have been. But what makes them awesome pastors and faithful pastors is that they preach the Word of God. Now, I can tell you, I've been pastoring for almost 13 years. It's going to be 13 years this April. There are countless times that a pastor gets up and he looks at his outline, he looks at the people, and he says, "You sure?" You sure? All right. We're going to do it. And often I've heard Pastor Jerry use the illustration, it's the absolute truth. Many times a preacher just has to draw a circle around himself and say, "God, it's just me and you. And if I can go back to my office and you're happy, then that's what I'm looking for." But see, it's the things which we have learned. Good teaching. And then look at the next phrase, "and hast been assured of." That's by example. By example. It's one thing to say it with your mouth. It's another thing to say it with your life. And so we've seen a lot of good things. We've been taught a lot of things from the Scripture. We've seen a lot of good things. Let me give you just a couple quick things here, and we'll go to the house here tonight. Let me say, number one, continue in compassion. Continue in compassion. It is a fine line for a church like yours and like mine and people that believe like we do. We draw very vivid lines between right and wrong. And oftentimes lines that people disagree with. And you need to do that. You must do that. God does that. People always say, "Well, I just don't think God cares." This is what I tell people. Have you ever read the Bible? "Well, I just don't think God has an opinion." You've got an opinion about everything. You don't think God doesn't? What is perfection? Perfection is everything in its place, nothing out of place. Whole, complete, pure. That means God's got an opinion about everything. God's got opinions about stuff we've never even thought about or considered. "I just don't think God cares." You've got to draw strong lines, but let me tell you this. We must also make sure that we never become Pharisaical. We're not better than people who don't believe in accordance with the Bible. Because but for the grace of God, there go you and I. You're not better than someone who's no longer at this church. You didn't save yourself. You don't keep yourself saved. And it's the grace of God that keeps us all on track. And we're going to get to heaven and find out. I think we're going to have these watershed moments, these inflection points. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to find out. At times we had no idea the decisions we're making had lifelong ramifications far beyond anything we could have imagined. We've got to have compassion on people. And by the way, you are a compassionate church, and I thank God for it. Look here what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to stay right in this book and just look at a couple things. Continue in compassion. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 24. Chapter 2, verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not" what? "Strive, but be" what? "Gentle unto" who? "All men." All men. Oh, I'm getting a picture here, aren't we? Let's read on. "Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing," look at this, "those that oppose themselves. Why? If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." People need compassion. People need compassion. Sometimes they oppose themselves. Sometimes they're hurting themselves, and we're trying to help them. And as we're taught near the water, you know, if you see someone drowning, sometimes the worst thing you could do is just go out and try to rescue them right away, because they will drown you. They're so panicked. You're trying to save them, and they're fighting you off, and you can both drown. What good lifeguards do is they will go out just within reach of the person that's drowning. And if they try to rescue them and they're fighting back, they will let them tire themselves out. And then once the person gets too tired to fight and is almost at the point of drowning, they will take them and safely lead them back to shore. Listen, in the ministry, sometimes we're getting beat up by people we're trying to help. They'll beat you to death. Call you names, all kinds of things. Hypocrite, you're a cult. You know, all the favorite things you say. This and that and this and that. Meanwhile, their lives are going down the toilet. Hurting themselves, hurting their marriages, hurting their spouses, hurting their kids, ruining their futures, and we're the problem. But it's gentleness that's required. Boy, there are times for harsh words and straight talk, but there's also a need for gentleness. Listen, there's no ready-made Christians, amen? When you get saved, it's not like you, ding, the timer pops and you come out, hee, I'm like Jesus, you know. That's not the way it works. I wish it was. That was not my testimony. Funny story, Brother Bo, we brought him and Miss Tina out to Rhode Island. We'd been there for a few years, and I really wanted him to see the place, and I just loved him. And so we brought he and Miss Tina out. We're sitting in our house, and we're talking one day, and we're just telling stories and laughing and joking, and I was teasing him about how I gave him a hard time at first. You know, I was saved on the inside, not on the outside. And God had done a major work in my inside, but you couldn't see it for a while. It had to work itself out, amen? And Brother Poe looks at me and he said, yeah, you had me worried for a while. I said, what? He said, I didn't think it took. And this is my mentor, you know, the one who spiritually speaking was there to rescue me from the flaming hell, you know, and all this. He's like, I didn't even think you were saved there for a while. And and rather than get offended, I said, you know, I don't blame you. I needed a lot of love. It didn't look like it for a while on the outside. Boy, Brother Bo was so gracious with us and so kind. I remember Miss Tina being so kind and just always there, just always just a blessing. I remember the VBS workers, the children's workers, the candy, the smiles, the snacks, the prize box, the Sunday school contests, the activities, the trips. I'd come to church and it was like better than Disney World. It was like, it was awesome as a kid because these people loved me. Don't ever lose that. I remember Brother Bo, probably the thing he said to me the most was, I appreciate you. He'd look me right in the eyeball every week and say, I appreciate you. You know, I was laughing at myself the other day. You know the thing I say probably more than anything else to people? I appreciate you. I was laughing the other day. Where in the world did I learn that from? He'd say, I love you in the Lord. Brother Paul, I love you in the Lord. And you know what I say to people? I catch myself. It's not planned. It's just, you know, I love you in the Lord. Well, I thank God for him loving me. The compassion. I remember when I was a teenager, I needed a job, and Brother Bobby needed help. He had no idea what he was getting into. When he hired me, I'd never worked before, and I did what I was told, and that was it. We'd get to a job, he'd say, bring in the tools. I'd bring in the tools and go sit in the corner. I did what you told me. He'd say, bring me this tool. I'd get up from the corner and go get him the tool and go sit back in the corner. One day at the end of probably about the first day or the second day that we're working as a job, we're supposed to be picking up scraps, and he's working on a seam or something. You know, it takes a little bit of time, and so he's working on a seam, and there's scraps laying around. I said, Paul, pick up those scraps. So I went and picked up those scraps. I didn't pick up the ones over there or the ones over there. He told me to pick up those. And I obeyed. And finally, he got mad at me. And he's like, Paul, what are you doing sitting over there? You know, and he just let me out. You look around and find stuff to do, and praise God, what'd you do? And after a while, I learned how to work. But I thank God often that Brother Bobby taught me how to work. Any other boss would have fired me. I promise you. He had compassion. I think about all the nights after Pastor Jerry got here. Boy, God brought him here right at the right time for me. I know it wasn't just for me, but sometimes I feel like it was. Just right at the right time. And we'd go soul winning. I'd sit out there and I'd be asking questions. I was excited about the Lord. I wanted to know stuff. I'd be asking questions and we'd be sitting out there in the car till all hours of the night. And finally, he'd look at me and say, I got a wife at home. I got to go home. One more question. And, you know, I wanted to know. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, for not grounding him from me. That would have... Who knows how I would have turned out. And I wanted to know. And there's a lot of stories. Many of you have had kind words over the years and encouraged me. But one situation I'll never forget. I'd just been called to preach and was really trying to live right. And a pastor gave me my first chance to preach. And so we went over to Glenburn Nursing Home. I thought about this, Grandma. We're staying over there with Grandma, and every time I go by, I think about it. First time I ever preached was at Glenburn Nursing Home. And the whole youth group went, and I had my sermon, and I was preaching about heaven. And the only two adjectives I knew were wonderful and great. Heaven's great. Well, heaven's wonderful. I said that. I counted. We had a cassette tape back in the day, and I counted. I think I said wonderful like over 30 times in like a 15-minute message. I mean, what do you say about heaven? It's wonderful. The streets of gold are wonderful. The gates of pearl are wonderful. You know, the mansions are wonderful. And that's all. But I did the best I could. Well, I just preached my heart out. And, you know, we were walking out. And the group was walking out, and I was one of the last ones. And Brother Jack Gordon, bless his heart. Don't you love the Gordons? And they were walking out in front of me. And one of the workers there at Glenburn pointed to me and talking to Brother Jack and said, hey, your son did a good job tonight. And I said, oh, don't do that to him. He doesn't want me. Boy, do you know how much trouble I am? You know, and I was joking and just really, but honestly saying, don't do that to him. He's. I'll never forget in all my days, I don't know how many times over the years I've thought about this. You know how Brother Jack's so tenderhearted? He turned around to me with tears in his eyes and he put his hand on my shoulder and he's crying and he can't get it out. He's trying to talk, but he can't get it out. And he looks me right in my eyes and he says, Paul, he stuttered. He said, I'd be proud to have you as my son. And he just kind of took his hand and put his head down and walked off wiping his tears. And I just stood there. I just stood there. I had a loving family and thank God for a loving mom. I know my dad loved me, but we never had the relationship that we would have wanted. But the fact that this guy, so spiritual, so faithful to God, would take this new Christian and look at him and say, I'd be proud to have you as my son. That was life-changing. Now, always remember that. Continue in compassion. Let me say next, continue in the commission. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse 5, but watch thou on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. I won't belabor the point. We talked about this morning, but, well, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. I love this SWAT program. If I could, I told him, I might have to drive back every Sunday morning or every Saturday morning just to get that training. That's wonderful. If you can work it out in your schedules, and I mean be committed to it, not just do it as a novelty. I would do that. I know pastors that would sit down and listen to your pastor by the hour teach about that kind of stuff. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'll be honest with you, as a young Christian, I heard the preaching, and it was simple logic. I didn't want to go to hell. Jesus saved me. Other people probably don't want to go to hell either. And Jesus will save them. So pastor told us to go tell people. So I just thought we were supposed to go tell people. I didn't know all the reasons. And you see, Brother Chapman, we have all these reasons, and you don't understand the scriptures, and you're just not wise in these things. I guess I'm not as smart as you. I just thought if God said go tell people about Jesus, and the preacher said go tell people about Jesus, I just thought that's what we were supposed to do. You see this Calvinism taking over Baptist churches nowadays. That Calvinism's lazy Christianity. Well, God's going to save him if he's going to save him. I can't really affect him anyway. So I'll stay home and watch cartoons Saturday morning. So I'll go play golf Saturday afternoon because God's going to save him anyway. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Whosoever will may come. The gospel. Jesus died for every man, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Don't get me preaching on that. But I just honestly thought, if there's a hell, let's go tell people. I remember the first night I showed up at Thursday night, and maybe this was an anomaly. I don't know. All I know is I showed up on Thursday night to go soul winning, and I honestly thought the whole church was going to be here. And I show up, and Pastor Ross and the deacons, and I thought, boy, people must be running late. I said, hey, Pastor, when's everybody else get here? He said, this is it for tonight. And I thought, wow. Listen, as great as a church as this is, I guarantee you there's people sitting on the sidelines. You got to get in the game. We got to get in the game. I started on a bus route, but I wanted to go out and tell the people that I knew. So I told Brother Bo and Pastor and them, I said, you know, I'm going to take Saturdays and go visit the people that I knew from school and all these things, and I want to witness to them. So I didn't work on a bus route long, but I started they used to call it the car route. Because I would just take my car and go around and win people to the Lord. And I'd start winning people. And it was a wonderful thing. I remember, how many of you remember Gary and Terry? Amen? And some of you are like, you should have stayed home, Pastor. And but praise God for Gary and Terry. And I used to go by their house and witness to them and pick them up. And then for a while, I took them soul winning with me. But when you're knocking on a door and they get in a fist fight behind you, rolling in the ground in the front yard, calling each other names, then it's like, hello, I'm from the Catholic Church. And what do you say? And so we stopped taking both of them at the same time. We would have to take one or the other. But wonderful. And I would pile people in the car and bring them to church. And I remember there at the end, I'd go over to Duggar and pick up some folks and Midland. Then I would drive down past Bogle Corner and just go straight. And I had somebody out there was picking up. I'd bring a carload. I remember one time Terry was smaller than Gary. So we literally have two guys in the hatch of my Chevette, you know, like laying down sideways. And the seats are full. And Terry's like, are we there yet? You know, hitting bumps. That's just all I knew to do. Pastor said, go get them. Let's go get them. Praise God. I remember one time, Pastor Ross, I'd start walking people down the aisle. And we led this person to the Lord. We led that person to the Lord. And I guess somebody complained about it. I know nobody here complains. That person's probably in heaven, whoever that was. But somebody complained. Or maybe. No. that's terrible. That's terrible. But somebody was complaining, so Pastor called me in, and he said, you're getting a lot of professions of faith. I said, well, I'm trying. He said, well, tell me what you're telling them. I said, do you want me to witness to you? He said, yeah, just tell me what you're telling them. So I was going to win pastor to the Lord. You know, I thought he was having doubts or something. I didn't know what was going on. And so I get out my New Testament, and I begin witnessing to him and just telling him. And then, I would go through the points, and then I would go back through and review, just like we were taught. I was just doing what I was taught. I wasn't making up anything new. He said, "That's what you're telling him?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "All right, go keep it up." All right, I went to go keep it up. I remember the first New Testament I ever had, soul winning New Testament I ever had. Grandma gave me a New Testament. It happened to be a Jimmy Swaggart New Testament. And so I had this Jimmy Swaggart New Testament, and I took it out, and I marked my Bible, and I had questions in the back. And let me tell you, that thing got well-worn. I counted it up one time, and in the year after I got right with God, and I mean really got on to soul winning, to God be the glory, and I wish I was as good of a soul winner now as I was then. But in that 12, 13-month period, there were over 100 names in the back of that New Testament. Sometimes I'd go down, and I didn't have a family. I didn't have things to do. I wasn't working with Bobby. I was sitting in the corner. So, I mean, it's like, that's not hard. And so, and Bobby's like, yeah, that's right. And so after church Sunday night, sometimes I would just go down to the gas station down here, and I'd pretend to get gas. This is a great soul-winning trick. So I would just stick the thing in there in the side and just... Somebody pulls up to get gas. Hey. Hey, how you doing? Next thing you know, we're in there witnessing, but it was awesome. It was fun. But listen, you got to continue, folks. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that drive, that desire to just keep going, and continue in compassion. Continue in commission. We got to continue in conviction. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, that means when it's popular. Out of season, that means when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's they? The church. Lost people have never liked good preaching. What is odd is when God's people start saying, I don't like that preaching. That's odd. But it happens. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Look at this contrasting in verse 5. But watch thou. Timothy, you can't do that. Timothy, you can't give up on your convictions. I say continue in conviction. You can't give up on your convictions. Listen, folks, if it was wrong in May of 1973 when this play started, it's wrong in 2017. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Culture comes and goes. Culture changes. Good night. Thank God bell bottoms aren't in style right now. That was just an awful time of history. I thought they were coming back for a while, and I went to my prayer closet and prayed and fasted. I said, God, no, anything but that. Bring back tie-dye t-shirts, you know, bring back. Listen, there's some wacko stuff out there. We got to continue in conviction. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I came here as a young Christian. I was a young teenager coming out of the world. We didn't know any better. I sit back there, and Brother Bo would bring me to church, and I'd sit back there and watch Pastor Ross. And you got to forgive me. I just didn't know any better. Pastor Ross is up here. Now, later, I came to know what a holy man he was and love him with all my heart. But he's sitting up here, and he's got his black horn-rimmed glasses, and he's teaching the Bible. And I'm like, who is that guy? He's like stuck in the 50s. This is what I'm telling myself. Somebody needs to tell him it ain't the 50s anymore. This is the 90s. What do they say nowadays? It ain't the 90s anymore, you know? I literally just, in my ignorance, said, what in the world? So I got saved and I began to get under conviction. So what I decided to do is I was going to go to the Bible to prove Pastor Ross wrong. Now, I know that's not the way you're supposed to do it, but I didn't like how I was feeling. I really didn't want to change, and so I was going to go to the Bible and prove him wrong. And that was my mistake. I should have just kept lying to myself. Amen? I found out what he was saying was true. This is what God said. And folks, we gotta keep conviction. Praise God you still use the King James Bible. You're not ever going to give that up. Amen? But listen, don't just carry it. Live it. Live it. I'm thankful that you all still have the old hymns. Can you imagine Brother Tommy up here like crowling and the guitars behind him and all that kind of stuff? I can see it and it's scary. Let me tell you, I was trying to get that out of there. And listen, I'm thankful you used the old hymns. I'm thankful, boy, that choir got up this morning. I'm about ready to jump out of my skin. Praise God for that. I'm back there trying to go over my message and praying. The choir's out here practicing. I want to get up and run around the conference room and praise God for a while. Boy, those specials today. Praise God for the congregational singing where all of you, I love it. You're not on your phones. You don't have your hands in your pockets. You got out a hymnal. You're looking. You're singing out. Praise God for that. I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. Listen, praise God you all still preach about drinking. Don't give in to that stuff. Amazes me how people spend so much time trying to convince me that drinking's okay. Look around and see all the damage it's doing, folks. We're whining over our personal rights when there's tens of thousands of people dying in drunk driving accidents, and how many people were beaten last night in homes where drunk-filled rages? How many children were abused this week? And we're arguing about, well, I don't see what's wrong with it. That's ridiculous. What about drugs?
Well, you know, preacher, marijuana is not really a drug. It's an herb.
So's parsley. Go smoke that instead. Rolling up some basil, you know. Just like. it's not just an herb.
I pray, I just don't think there's anything wrong with it, you know.
Ridiculous. Boy, this meth stuff, this heroin stuff. Listen, drugs is drugs. And if the doctor gave you something, take it like he prescribes it. Keep it out of your kids. Kids, stay out of your parents' medicine cabinets. Let's keep a sane mind about things. The only influence we should be under is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Keep your conviction against cussing. I'm tired of seeing Christians, you know, they just cuss.
Blankety blank blank.
What? My mom would have washed my mouth out with soap when we were lost. Matter of fact, she did wash my mouth out with soap when we were lost. Ivory and Dove were the worst. I didn't mind a little zest. Lava cleaned your teeth. Ivory and Dove. One time my mom got so mad at me, she took my toothbrush and scraped it on the block of soap and made me brush my teeth with it. My teeth have never been so clean. But praise God for a mom that even when we didn't even know any better, she said, you ain't going to talk like that. Praise God. Amen. Praise God that we still talk about dressing right. Listen, I think you ought to dress up for church. Amen. Praise God you are. Now, if you wear the best you got. If you come in from work or you come in from the farm on Wednesday night, we don't care about that. But don't jump out of bed Sunday morning, not take enough time to comb your hair, put on a little deodorant, maybe change out of your pajamas and come to bed. God's worth it. Give God your best. Praise God you do that. Praise God you still teach about men looking like men and women looking like women. Don't give up on that stuff. Praise God we still preach about fornication and immorality and this new thing called sodomy. It's not new, folks. The world wants to act like this is a new problem. We've got to learn how to fix it. It's an old problem. It's still sin. Listen, let me just say this. I know what it's like to preach about this stuff, and sometimes even in a good church, the ones who don't believe it are out there scowling at you, and the ones who do believe it are quiet. That gets lonely. Now, we're going to preach it either way. Tell your preacher amen. Amen. When's the last time you went to your preacher and said, listen, I want to thank you for preaching the hard stuff? You know how much pressure there is on preachers to just let up a little bit, just lighten up a little bit. You have to say it like, well, I know what you're saying, but you have to say it like that. It wouldn't matter to you how I said it. If I said, would you please not, you'd still be angry. It's all a matter of the heart. Buy into it. Let me tell you, young people, buy into it. Not just in the Christian school, buy into it. Dress that way and live that way and decide to live that way because that's what you believe, because you go to the Bible like I did. I didn't even have good intentions. I went to the Bible to justify my heathen lifestyle, and I found out God was right. Find out what you believe and live it. You homeschool kids, you got good parents. Praise God for that. Don't just conform to their wishes, but see if God can transform your heart through the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
You got to buy into it. Let me tell you, wives, if you've got a spiritual husband and he wants to make some solid changes and follow the Bible on some things, you back him. You back him. You don't give him fits. Now, some ladies, and I know there's probably nobody in here like this, but let me just say it to say it. Some ladies complain all the time that their husband is not a leader, but every time he even starts to... You know, get that look. Oh. You know, it's like, what in the world? You ask a man, hey, buddy, can you do this? And he's not being like generous. I think you ought to keep your wife in things, but it's not like, hey, let me ask my wife, see what's going on. It's a, let me ask my wife. It's almost like I need to get permission. Back the God-given leadership in your life. Children, back your parents wanting to do right. Wives, back your husbands wanting to do right. Husbands, back your preacher wanting to do right. Well, that's good stuff right there. Continuing conviction. Let's finish up. I'm hungry. No, I'm not hungry. I won't be able to eat for 3 days. Well, that soup was good the other night, wasn't it? Praise God for that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Then one of the saddest verses, I think, in the Bible. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. What's the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, boy, Timothy, I sure would like it if you could just be here with me. I've sent everybody away. Everybody's out ministering. I got Luke here with me. But Timothy, could you just try to rearrange your schedule and hurry up and get here? I just need you. Let me say lastly, we need to continue in commitment. There's no greater joy than to watch our children walk in the truth, amen? There's no greater heartache than to watch our children walk away from the truth. It is a pain like no other. Punch me in the eyeball, stab me, physically stab me. Don't stab me in the back. Don't pretend to be my friend and then gossip. Don't pretend to be one thing and like everything's okay and then just walk away. One thing I love about Paul and Timothy's relationship is he had the utmost confidence in Timothy. He knew that if he told Timothy he needed him, I think the Apostle Paul said, I can count on Timothy. He'll be here. He'll find a way. We just need to continue in commitment. Continue in your commitment to God. That's why you're here tonight, amen? Be committed to God. Listen, God's more important than money. God's more important than pleasure. God's more important than opportunity. Stay faithful to God. Let me say next, stay faithful to your family. I get so tired of watching families blow up over the dumbest stuff. I mean, the absolute dumbest stuff. I'm not getting my needs met. How about you focus on meeting somebody else's needs? Selfishness will kill every relationship in your life. Did you hear that? Selfishness will kill every relationship in your life. Continue in your commitment to your family. Husband and wife, if you said I do, that means forever. Means forever. It is a sad testimony that the divorce rate among Christians is equal to the divorce rate among the world. 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 70% of third marriages end in divorce. Maybe you should figure out it's not the person you're married to as much as it's you. I know things happen. I know there's things. And stop. Don't make me say all the caveats. Don't make me say all the, well, I know this and I know that and I know there's these situations. Can we just agree that if you say you ought to be married and you agree before God and you marry someone, that you stay married? Continue in commitment. Continue in the church. I don't think you ought to bounce around churches. Find a church, put your plants down, and grow there. The next church is going to have problems. It's full of sinners too. Be committed to one another as church members. Be there for one another. Be committed to your pastor. I know you love your preacher. But in the average church, the ones who are upset are far more vocal than the ones who are happy. Studies tell us that if you go to a restaurant and you have a good experience, you'll tell 3 people. If you go to a restaurant and have a bad experience, you'll tell 11 people. That means people are almost 4 times more prone to be vocal when they're upset or unhappy than when they're happy. Don't just communicate with people when you're mad. Say the good things. Commitment. This church, with all its faults and failures, it's one of the greatest churches I've ever known. Continue. Continue. In what? The things thou hast learned, teaching, and the things thou hast been assured of, example. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, would you speak to hearts? I just want to be a blessing to this dear church. I know I'm preaching to the choir, Lord. But oh, may something be said tonight that would just be a blessing. We talked this morning about the glorious gospel. What a gospel it is. But Lord, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Satan attacks churches. Because as the church goes, when the church goes down, the gospel is not promoted and presented and spread. I pray you'd protect this church. Thank you for its great history. Thank you for what they're doing now. Boy, I don't know of one problem here. All I know is good things. But Lord, I just pray today we would take this admonition and continue. Personally and corporately.